Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am B-Don, joined by the Fantasy Master Lothario himself, the one and only Gray Albright. How you doing over there, Gray?
Not good, bro. Not good. I'll be honest. I've been better. I have been better. Gray Albright, been better. not good. But I got a lozenge in my mouth. And I got COVID in my chest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so we didn't even know if we were going to have you on today, Gray. This morning, it was looking like the Grim Reaper was knocking at your door. We were lining up, you know, the next great Razzball podcaster to come on and rotate in and out. Because we assume if you leave, it'll just be a rotation because nobody will stay on the podcast for more than 3 years.
If something happens to me, I just want you to know you're now in charge of firing the next person. I can no longer do it for you. You have to do it.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun search.
Actually, you might have to fire yourself.
That's true. I'll just fire myself. I'll bring in Billy. At least people will laugh then. Whoever I stick with, Billy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was on the way to the ER today. Not good, man. And then Cougs and I got like about 5 minutes away from parking, and we were like, "You really want to sit in the ER for 6 hours?" We're like, "Nah." You know what? I'm gonna take my chances. Give me a lozenge. Let's go back home. That was only the fallout from the Juan Soto trade.
Yeah, so let's just get into it, Gray. There's a lot of trades we got to talk about here. So let's do it. Otherwise, we'll be here for 2 hours, and that's not it for anybody. The first, as you mentioned already, Juan Soto and Josh Bell going to San Diego. Washington getting back Mackenzie Gore, Robert Hassel III, C.J. Abrams, James Wood, Harlan Susana, Luke Voigt, all going back to Washington. Somehow San Diego still just absolutely destroying this deal because they got Juan Soto and they got a first baseman in Josh Bell, who is better than the emptiness that was Eric Hosmer at first base. The only thing I really wanted to ask about Soto Bell going forward is they go from a fairly neutral spot here in Washington to, you know, not so friendly hitter environment in Petco. Any concerns? I mean, we've seen Soto's power when he's hitting him, it can go for out of any park. But any concern here with Soto and Bell?
I don't really have any concern. You know, Josh Bell is really the interesting one to me because Juan Soto. I mean, hey, Juan Soto's lovely, all right? He's sexy Dr. Pepper. Like, I got no problems with Juan Soto. I think everything Juan Soto does is great. But everyone really knows Juan Soto, you know? So it's like, how much is there really to say?
Right.
You bring up some, you bring up a little bit of a concern, I guess, with the power, but he can really hit it out of any park. I mean, I'm not really that concerned about like whether or not he's going to be able to hit home runs in Petco. I mean, he's sort of like at this point, I think, he's like more a 32 homer guy versus like, you know, like he's not Aaron Judge, you know, like Juan Soto is like he's great and he brings a lot to the table. But he's not going to be a 50 homer guy. Like he is probably 32 homers, 10 steals. He should be hitting for a better average. You know, his average is a little low this year, but yeah, I'm not really concerned about him. Josh Bell is the other guy that I think is kind of interesting because he's actually one of the few guys this year who's made a marketed difference in his approach and has actually gotten better for average, which is like so rare in today's game. Like no one gets better for average, but Josh Bell actually has. Like he's cut his strikeouts, he's held on to his walks, he's hitting for a 301 average as of the recording of this with a 324 BABIP. The BABIP doesn't seem too lucky. I think, you know, Josh Bell actually has become, you know, coming into this year, I would have said he was a 260 hitter. I think he's actually become a 280 hitter. this year. I think he's changed his approach and he looks really much better. He's also not a huge power guy. Like even like if you're gonna lose, a handful of home runs going to Petco, he wasn't really gonna hit him anyway, Like you didn't really have him for that reason. He's probably like a 22 homer, 280 hitter, with no speed. Solid, if not spectacular. I wouldn't expect him to be like, like a top five first baseman maybe, but if he gets enough counting stats, I guess he could sneak into that, into that sort of category of first baseman. But yeah, I mean, he's good. He's solid. He doesn't have the power as a Rizzo, for instance, or even the guy who he's replacing, Voit. I think Voit even has a little bit more power than Josh Bell, but Josh Bell hits for a better average, and Luke Voit is much streakier. So yeah, I like Josh Bell a lot. I think he's probably a little bit underrated, but yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Josh Bell's probably going to lose, the some of the power that he was going to give you. So, I mean, if he was like a 25 to 30 homer guy before, maybe he's like a 20, a 20 to like 26 homer guy now. I do think the average might come down a little bit rather than him being a 300 hitter like he's been. I think where you said like 280, 270, somewhere in that area may happen. But I think he's going to be right in the middle of the lineup. So I think he's still going to give you everything that you kind of wanted out of Josh Bell, which was, some average, the counting numbers with the runs and RBIs sitting in the middle of a lineup. So all of that's still going to be there as far as what he's going to give you. As we move forward into next year, maybe the projections take a little bit of a turn down as we see how this affects him. But you're right. I mean, he's been like a 280 hitter since second half last year when he started hitting more line drives. He upped his launch angle a little bit. And he was always a patient hitter in the minors. That was always just kind of waiting for him to really become, what we knew he could be. And it's just kind of rounding into shape here. Maybe a little later than we wanted, but yeah, Josh Bell is kind of who still what you wanted from him.
Yeah.
So we get Abrams and Gore. They're going to slot right into the Nationals lineup and rotation. Maybe Abrams gets to move out of the bottom of the order finally.
Abrams, they sent to the minors.
Okay, they've already sent him to the minors. So unfortunately, he's not going to move up. That's unfortunate.
And Gore is hurt, so
Yes, and Gore's banged up right now. I mean, anything that really, once they get their spots, anything to add to them?
nope.
All right. I will say Gore seems to be a little bit of a kind of a people are split on him. Like some are like, okay, he's never going to be good. He can't stay healthy. Whereas I tend to be on the side of guys, it's his first year back. He's kind of building up innings. He's never been somebody who's put up big innings in the minors yet because of injuries and everything that's happened to him. Where are you at on Gore? Are you buying for like dynasty purposes, or would you be selling kind of and bumping up the first, trying to bump up the first half's numbers?
You
Mute.
know, with like with trades, with buying and selling, it's so much contingent on whether or not like what kind of deal you're getting. If you're able to buy low enough on Gore, sure, I have no problem buying low on him. I think I have real concerns about whether or not he can ever stay healthy, though. So, am I buying for, full price? No, not at all. I'm a little bit out on him, to be honest, but. His arm is, I mean, he's really good if he's able to stay healthy. I have no faith anymore that he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be ultimately whether he can build up the innings to make himself a starter. I do think there is a potential that if he can't, he could be an absolutely shut down closer. So there is that opportunity in Dynasty, even if you can't necessarily move him to where maybe he moves into another role that also gives him a fantasy friendly outlook, or he just becomes a long reliever in the Clay Holmes, Mike King kind of mold. And that's useful in this game too, because they get saves, they get wins, and they can pile up some strikeouts when you got stuff that Gore does when he's on.
Yep.
San Diego didn't stop there. They actually didn't stop at all. They just assumed everybody was theirs for the taking. They traded for Josh Hader. They gave up Taylor Rogers, Dinelson Lamay, Robert Gasser, and Estuary Ruiz to the Brewers. So, where are you at on Hader? I mean, he's kind of been a little bit off. Really, that was just pre-All-Star break. He's kind of back to where he normally is. And then Taylor Rogers has been kind of terrible this year. He's lost some velocity, kind of back to those 2020 levels when he's a 4 ERA, 1.5 WHIP guy.
Yeah, see, so for fantasy, I think it's pretty clear cut that Josh Hader is going to be the closer in the on the Padres, and I'm pretty sure Devin Williams will be the guy in Milwaukee, but it'll be a little murkier in Milwaukee. Murky Milwaukee, Milwaukee. Anyway, it's going to be a little murkier because, you know, Craig Counsell's already said he's not sure if he's going to be, playing matchups a little bit. He likes Devin Williams in earlier innings, so Taylor Rogers might actually see a save or two. I wouldn't count on it, but he could see a few. Anyway, this trade is really kind of fascinating because, like, I think, like, this is from a real baseball perspective, because I think there's, like, if you look at Josh Hader from the outside looking in, and you're like, okay, well, he's lights out. This is a great trade for the Padres. I mean, man, they really took it to the Brewers once again after doing the Grisham Urias Lauer trade. But that, just like that other trade with Grisham, Lauer, and Urias, this is sort of looks like on second looks. It looks like the Brewers might have actually did okay with this trade. Like, I don't like Ruiz, I like a lot. Estuary Ruiz, also sent down, so, you know, kind of irrelevant for this discussion, but I like him a lot for the future. Taylor Rogers, I mean, you know, saves are saves, Sagnoff, you know? So it's like Taylor Rogers wasn't great in the last like couple weeks, but his FIP looks really good and he's actually not so bad. Hader is just a closer. So, yeah, I mean, and LeMay's really fascinating too from like a more of a long-term perspective. So from like more like a dynasty league type situation or like what the Brewers are playing in, which is a real baseball league. So I actually really kind of like the Brewers get here. I think they did okay for themselves. I sort of like their return more than the Gore CJ Abrams return on just like its face. Like I could see either. Like I like Gore. His injuries really concern me. I like Abrams a lot. If Abrams turns out well, maybe that trade will end up being a huge for the Nationals. But I really like what the Brewers got too. For just Josh Hader, you know, not, I mean, I say just Josh Hader, but he is like the best closer in baseball. So, anyway, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's an interesting trade from a real baseball perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the loss of losing a Juan Soto, even if like Abrams, Gore are good. Plus, I mean, Hasselwood and Susanna are not like just throwaway pieces either. These are good prospects. I believe Wood and Hassel are consensus top 100, and Hassel's even higher than that. So I mean, we're talking about good prospects here. I'm with you that I think Milwaukee did well in this trade. They got a lot of interesting pieces. Ruiz, he's an interesting top of the order bat with tons of speed, as we've talked about. Gasser's interesting in himself. LeMay's a project, but if you can get him right, he can definitely be a starter or a good bullpen piece. And Rodgers, I really think it's about figuring out what happened to his velocity. And if he can get his velocity back, I think he just kind of falls back into what he was doing last year. So there's definitely some things here. And Hader gets the rest of this year, next year, and then he's a free agent. So San Diego's going to have to decide after watching him finish out this year or next year whether they're signing him long term or not, which I'm sure is also something that led Milwaukee to move him, obviously, just the limited amount of control and the way Milwaukee tends to operate.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to somebody who doesn't have to worry about operating expenses versus the club that worries about operating expenses maybe the most. Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino go to the Yankees. I'm pretty sure Trevino was like, hey, you have to take him. We said we were going to trade him. You have to take him. And then Oakland gets back J.P. Sears, Ken Waldichuk, Luis Medina, and Cooper Bauman. I mean, I think the Yankees did a really good job here. They really didn't move any of their top guys to make this move, and it could help out a lot with adding Montas into the rotation. I don't know what exactly the rotation looks like here on out, if they're kind of go six man or they're moving some people to the pen or what it's going to look like.
Yeah, well, with Jordan Montgomery getting traded, I think it's five man as of right now. So, yeah. But anyway, Frankie Montas, you know, I don't really love the move for him. I mean, it's like I don't want to be a hater. I feel like I'm always hating on the Yankees, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't know why. And it's funny too, because in reality, like, I grew up as a Yankees fan, so it's like if any team is the team I'm going to root for, it would be the Yankees. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I get pegged as a Yankees hater. I don't know. It's like Oakland is such a good park. Yankee Stadium is not a good park. I mean, it's kind of like it's basically that simple, you know. And the fact that Montas was just having he just had an arm injury. I mean, it's okay. I mean, if you have him, you're rolling him out there. And if you don't have him, I wouldn't go out and trade for him. So, you know, for fantasy perspective, we'll see what happens. I'm just not super optimistic.
Yeah, and I wrote up the note before the Jordan Montgomery trade, so that's my bad on that note. But yeah, you're right. Frankie Montas is slotting in. I mean, I think, you know, you get the typical trade-off of more potential wins and run support with probably a worse ERA and WHIP coming with it. It's such Yankee Stadium, obviously, just such a friendly park. I will say he's a heavy ground ball guy, so I don't think the home run ball is necessarily going to kill him, as it has a number of other pitchers that have moved to Yankee Stadium. I mean, he's throwing 46% ground balls this year, so I do think that there's, you know, at least some hope that the ERA is not just going to balloon as soon as he steps into Bronx.
Yeah, that's fair. And then in Oakland, I think probably Zach Jackson is probably the new closer there, but Danny Jimenez is coming back soon, and also, like, who cares? It's yeah. Oakland.
I keep thinking, you know, I feel like we've been saying Danny Jimenez is coming back for like the last like 3 months, and it just feels like he's always coming back, and we haven't seen him. But yes,
he's pulling a Casey Kotsman.
I think those are the two names, and AJ Puck, if you really want to speculate, if you're in that kind of league where the second or third option in Oakland needs to be owned. Luis Castillo goes to the Mariners. The Reds get back Nuelve Marte, Edwin Arroyo, Levi Stout, and Andrew Moore. I mean, Luis Castillo's gonna slot into the rotation, obviously. Who do you think is getting the boot from the rotation? Or, I mean, they do have a lot of young arms, or a couple of young arms in there, so they could just kind of work some some six man or some split rotation spots?
I think Kirby's they already sent Kirby down in July to try and limit his innings. They brought him back and now he's limited to like 50 pitches a game. So I feel like George Kirby's not long for the rotation, which is a smart thing to do. I think they should limit him. So anyway, Luis Castillo is like this is like the opposite of Frankie Montas. I feel like this is like the best.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Is like if everyone could like just picture in your mind, like what happened with Jesse Winker as a hitter and then flip that and think of it now as a pitcher and it being good. It's like, yes, yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. Woo! I don't know. I think he's probably, I mean, he was never really like homer prone in Cincy. He was really actually very good in Cincinnati. He wasn't like a guy who was like getting killed by the homers. He was an ace. I don't know if people necessarily always thought of him that way, but he was. And now he goes to a place that's even better for homers and even and against like, you know, I don't know the Mariners schedule off the top of my head, but I mean, Angels are not good. I mean, I get it. The NL Central isn't good, but the AL West, it's like the Astros are good. But after the Astros, it's like, yeah, the Rangers spend $500 million to suck. I mean, it's like, you know, so I think he's in a really good place, to be honest. I'm kind of excited. I'm trying to temper my excitement a little bit because anytime I get too excited, I get hurt. But I think it's good. I think this is a really good landing spot for him.
Gray's ready to be hurt again. He's ready. Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a perfect landing spot for him. He's another huge, I mean, heavy ground ball guy. Almost always over 50%. He's at 47.1. this year, so he's right on that line. But yeah, heavy ground ball guy. He may even be able to up the K rate because he can kind of play with it a little bit more. Doesn't have to worry about, you know, a loose fly ball going over the fence in Cincinnati. And he's actually stepping into a team that's better defensively. Cincinnati is just awful defensively and has been all season. So I think this is an upgrade all around for Castillo, a guy that I've always liked, and maybe more so than I should, but I mean, for the most part, he hasn't let me down, except for, I think last year it was a little bit rough on him as he's in and out of the rotation a little bit, or just banged up. Moving on, we got Trey Mancini and Jaden Murray going to Houston, Seth Johnson, Chase McDermott to Baltimore, and Jose Siri to Tampa Bay. Mancini likely slots in at first base and maybe some DH. Yuli probably move into a part-time role or DH. Probably just add some home runs to Mancini's rest season projection, maybe a little bit of average, but I mean, just good for him to get out of Baltimore.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's probably like he probably would have been like a 8 or 9 homer guy the rest of the way, and now he becomes a 10 or 11 homer guy. So it's negligible. I don't think it's really a huge, fantasy boost for him. It's definitely better. I mean, obviously, better line. It's a good lineup, better park. Yeah, I mean, it's good. I don't think he's like, you know, unless he gets hot. Like, if he gets hot, then maybe he puts up like a huge second half. But I think he's more or less what you're thinking he is still. Like, he's probably like, you know, 5 homers a month. 270 average, so you know, for the rest of the way, that's 10 homers, 270. It's okay, no speed whatsoever, but yeah, I mean, good runs and RBIs in that lineup, so yeah, I mean, he's fine. You're right, though. I think Yuli Gurriel is probably going to get dinged a bit, and Aldemas Diaz will get dinged a little bit, and yeah, I think Christian Vasquez too. I don't know if you mentioned him. He got traded to the Astros and he gets dinged big time because he becomes the second catcher. But yeah, so Trey Mancini, better fantasy value in Houston, but still, you know, just he's Trey Mancini.
Yeah, I mean, I think the county numbers may be his biggest boost here, just because they were very low for what he's been doing in Baltimore. So I think just the bump up in county numbers is just kind of gonna make his end of season player rater look a little bit nicer now that he's moved on, and maybe some hope for next year as we look at his projection. Moving on, we got Minnesota getting Jorge Lopez, Baltimore getting back Cade Pavich, Yennier Cano, I could have just butchered that completely, Juan Nunez and Juan Rojas. Could be Duran or Lopez closing, but probably Lopez since they traded for him, and also keeps Duran's arbitration costs down, I suppose.
Yeah, I would assume Jorge Lopez is now the closer in Minnesota, but I think you know, like Baldelli, which we've said before on the podcast, Baldelli doesn't necessarily like to call one guy the closer, so I wouldn't be surprised if Duran gets a two-inning save here or there. And also, they traded for Michael Fulmer. He could even I wouldn't even be shocked if he saw a save or two. But I think Lopez is the guy. And Lopez has been great. So, I mean, he's definitely worth rostering anyway. So, yeah, I would grab him or trade for him even. I think he's probably, you know, I would say 85. No, even more. I'd say probably 90 to 95% all the saves are going to go to Lopez, with like the stray save going to Duran and maybe Fulmer.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's how it's going to end up breaking down, even though Duran has done nothing wrong to lose the job. And then in Baltimore, I think it's Felix Bautista or Dylan Tate if you're looking at saves there with Lopez gone.
Yeah, I think Batista is actually really interesting. He's been great. He's been like he's been more or less lights out for better part of the season. You know, he's got like a 11.6 K per nine, under 3 walk rate, a 1.66 ERA. He's been good. I think he's probably, you know, I mean, he's not going to get as many opportunities as some other guys, but he's definitely worth rostering in all leagues.
Yeah, and hopefully they don't just, like, relegate him to a closer role, because he has been good. So if you can just get the innings out of him, just the pure numbers from him have been good. Honestly, if he was on a better team, he might have lucked into a couple more wins, maybe a few more saves, and be a little bit higher up on the player radar and get a little bit more notice. But, yes, he's been having a phenomenal season. Tyler Mogg, another one who's getting a great bump here. He's going to Minnesota from Cincinnati. I haven't seen a return on that one yet. I mean, Tyler Mall was having a bit of a tough season, so started turning around, but this is definitely going to help.
Yeah, no, completely. I think he's probably, like, after Louis Castillo, I think Tyler Mall is probably one of the bigger fantasy boosts for value. He's, like, I mean, Minnesota's great. I mean, anywhere's better than Cincinnati, to be honest. Yep. But, I mean, Tyler Mahl was actually getting hurt by home runs in Cincinnati. So he was not, you know, his ground ball rate is 36%. He was giving up home runs in Cincinnati. And he won't do it as much in Minnesota. So that's really good. And he's also great for Ks. His Ks are down a little bit this year, but still 9.8 K per nine. A little bit over 3 walk rate. He's good. I mean, he's really, like, he's probably one of those guys that's super underrated. And if the Twins can manage to fix his command a little bit, like they've done with other people, then he could become great. So, yeah, I'm excited for the trade for him.
Yeah, and I was just actually looking up. I mean, Maul's actually been great against the home run this season. It's been a struggle for him in the past. He's just been getting, like, singled to death this year. As I mentioned, the Reds' defense has been putrid all season. So, again, I think moving to a better stadium, better defense, all helps Tyler. And since June, he's been a 3-2 ERA pitcher. So, I mean, he's already turned it around, and this is just going to keep those numbers coming.
Agreed.
Raisel Iglesias goes to Atlanta for Jesse Chavez and Tucker Davidson back to the Angels. I mean, I think the only thing really to say is Iglesias is probably losing his closer role. So, I mean, you can hang on to him if you really want, but his numbers haven't been exactly sparkling anyway. So, probably just go ahead and let Iglesias go, except for in those deepest of the leagues we're chasing.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a bizarre thing because it's like the Braves lost the headache of Will Smith, and then they acquired a new headache in Iglesias. This is really like, it's just sort of like they're just shuffling headaches around. I don't know, man. This was a bizarre move for them, I thought at least.
No, like, I'm with you. I thought the same thing. I was like, why didn't you just keep Will Smith then if you're going to bring an inconsistent former closer in? Like, at least you know Will Smith. Maybe you can fix him. Like, you don't know anything about Rice at all.
Or if you look at it the other way, like, Will Smith was sent for Jake Odorizzi. So if you wanted a starter, why not try and get Syndergaard from the Angels versus Iglesias and just keep Will Smith? Like, or, you know what? It's like, I'm hurting my own brain now.
Yeah, before Gray blows up and faints on camera because of COVID and just confusion, let's go ahead and move on because that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Whit Merrifield's going over to Toronto for...
Speaking of not making sense.
For Samad Taylor and Max Castillo going back to Kansas City. I mean, I guess Whit Merrifield probably sits at the top of the Toronto order here. I don't know if a whole lot else changes other than he's going to get hopefully a bump in runs. That's
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't really know if that's I don't know if you're saying true facts here, man.
I don't know either. I have no idea.
Because if you think about okay, so first of all, Whit Merrifield isn't vaccinated. He's probably the one who gave me COVID. That bastard. No. So Whit Merrifield's not vaccinated. So according to the Jays, they weren't sure what he was going to do with his vaccination status. So, I don't know, man. I mean, you got to play in Toronto, unless they just got someone to play in road games only. I don't know. That's a little bizarre. But let's just assume he's going to get vaccinated and he'll be able to play in home games. So who does he replace? Santiago Espinal? Where does Springer go? Is Springer's elbow injury really bothering him more than they're saying? So Merrifield replaces Springer at the top of the lineup, or is Springer healthy and Espinal gets removed and Merrifield goes in to the bottom of the lineup? Like, what? Honestly, I'm kind of interested in seeing how this plays out because I don't know, to be quite honest. I have no clue what's going to happen with Merrifield. I'm sort of like, I'm confused as much as anyone. I think with this move, if I had to guess, they're not letting on about Springer's elbow injury and Merrifield's going to replace him. He's going to play outfield and Springer's going to go to the IL. Maybe if they're replacing Espinal, I am really confused because Espinal's been pretty good for them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'll be interested in seeing what happens though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Witt's been great this year. I just kind of assumed, given the fact that they moved for him, that they're sticking in the lineup. But that may not be correct. It's kind of baffling that they went for another righty when their whole starting lineup is all right-handed. I don't understand the Whit Merrifield pickup here, but maybe it's just depth. I mean, he can play all over the field, but they got that in Espinal. Already Biggio can kind of play all over the place as well. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. I guess you're holding on for the speed on Whit, but really, like, if you were holding on for anything else, that's really all we're expecting here.
Yeah, I think his value took a hit, but honestly I can't be 100% sure.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see if there's anything else on Springer or where Whit kind of slots in these next couple of days in the lineup, or if he is just kind of a bench rotation guy. Jordan Montgomery goes to St. Louis, as you mentioned earlier, kind of fixing that six-man rotation issue. And Harrison Bader goes back over to New York. I mean, Montgomery's going to slot in for St. Louis. They can use a little bit of rotation help as the back end of the rotation was just kind of ugly. They also pick up Quintana during this trade deadline. And then Harrison Bader, I don't know that he's more than a bench bat for the Yankees. I mean, maybe he gets some Hicks gets to play for hits.
Again, man. Again, there's some like seriously head scratchers during the deadline because, like, if you think about it, okay, Bader's got great defense, so I can understand why they'd want to play him over Aaron Hicks. But on the other hand, trying to find arms that can give you like 175 innings is so difficult. I mean, not from a fantasy standpoint. I love that Jordan Montgomery went to St. Louis. Like, I think it's a great boost for his value for fantasy. But for reality, I don't know what the Yankees are thinking here because, like, Jordan Montgomery, even if he only gave you, like, five to six innings, it was safer 5 than 6 innings than you're going to get from Domingo Germán. And you're, like, and you're looking at going into the playoffs. You want to have a guy who can give you innings. It's really puzzling, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have COVID brain fog or this is really puzzling. But anyway, I think Harrison Bader is probably a platoon bat. I would be shocked if the Yankees just flat out DFA'd or lost Aaron Hicks. I mean, at this point, they've been playing Aaron Hicks for years. No reason. So I don't see them just moving on from Hicks. So, I mean, I think they got like a defensive replacement in Harrison Bader, which really hurts his value. And Jordan Montgomery, like I mentioned, he has a significant boost in value. He's going to be good. NL Central, good park. He has great command. I mean, he's really... I could see him becoming like having a great like final 2 months.
Yeah, so I'm with you on both accounts. Harrison Bader becomes a split part timer slash defensive replacement because Harrison Bader has weird splits righty lefty too. So I don't know where he's actually going to slot in there. I thought Jordan Montgomery was kind of the perfect guy for New York because he can start, he can give you those innings, and he's also worked the bullpen in his past. So like, if you don't want him to start, you can just move him back to the bullpen, and he's like, okay, I've done this before too. I don't get it. I assume New York's going to address it maybe in the off season. Maybe they're waiting on somebody for next year. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. If anybody gets injured in the rotation now, this will be very interesting though. Speaking of random players going to the Yankees, Andrew Benintendi goes to the Yankees. So far, since he's joined the team, he's slotted in at fifth or sixth, depending on whether it's versus righty or lefty. I guess at least this is a lefty bat for the Yankees, which they kind of needed in there, I guess. But that's really all I can think of is, again, a defensive, plus he's a lefty.
Yeah, I mean, I think he makes a little bit more sense because he stretches out, you know, pitch counts a little bit on the opposing team. He takes pitches, he stretches out at bats. So I mean, I don't mind him really as much. I mean, he's obviously way more interesting as a real baseball player than he is as a fantasy. I mean, he's got no power, he's got no speed. He hits for a little bit of an average, but
yeah.
I mean, he's really not very good.
Yeah. He's an only league guy. Fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And like in AO only, he's like one of those guys who's actually underrated, but in a mixed league, he's overrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Hanging on to what Andrew Benintendi once showed us promise of the old 2020 or more, no longer the case here. Brandon Drury's going to San Diego. Just San Diego continuing to add. Victor Acosta going back over to Cincinnati in the deal. You know, Cincinnati just continuing to move on from their pieces. Brandon Drury's having a great season. I mean, I assume he kind of slots in at that like 5-6 area, but I really don't know where Drury's going to end up in the lineup for San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he would be like a middle-of-the-order bat with, you know, I could see him potentially getting platooned here or there, like losing a few at-bats, not a ton. Like, I don't think he's going to necessarily get benched all the time, but he could lose a few at-bats maybe to, like, Mazzara potentially, or, you know. He's good, though. I think he's fine. I think the park switch isn't going to help him, but, you know, he's in such a zone this year that if, you know, anything you're getting from Brandon Drury at this point is icing on the cake. So
yeah, I wouldn't expect the home run numbers to be, you know, all that great. They weren't all that great to begin with, but I would expect that to maybe even take a little bit of a hit here. Probably the average as well. Although, like you said, he's been hitting so well all season. Hard to take away from his average just the way that that's going. I don't know. Maybe he could actually kind of alternate in the one spot with Profar, since he is very good against lefties and Profar takes the righties. But we'll see how that all shakes out in regards to, you know, where they slot in. I mean, you're just happy that you picked up Brandon Drury from the waivers early in the season, and you're going to continue playing him more than likely in all but the shallowest of leagues. Brandon Marsh goes to Philly. They finally get a center fielder to play some actual defense. That's nice to have in Philadelphia. I don't know who's going to now play defense for LA, though, because that's a complete mystery. But yeah, Brandon Marsh to Philly. I think he's going to get everyday playing time at least.
Mickey Moniak went to he got traded to the Angels. Mickey Moniak is the new Angels center fielder. I mean maybe I don't know. Maybe the Angels are trying to appeal to the old Disney ownership with Mickey. I don't know. Anyway, Marsh, I think Marsh is a solid. Actually, I think Marsh got a solid fantasy boost with this trade. He's, you know, I mean, he's kind of is what he is at this point. But I do think, like, I read somewhere that they plan on using him as the center fielder every day. And I wouldn't be shocked by that. I think he's going to get a decent amount of at-bats. He's got power, speed. The park switch actually could help his power a little bit too. You know, Brandon Marsh is like, I'm not going to say he's definitely like 10 or even maybe 12 team mixed league viable now suddenly, but he's at least in that conversation. I think he's probably still like 12 team mixed league might be just a hair too shallow unless he's hitting. But I'm definitely watching him. I think he could get on radars for all leagues if he's playing every day, which they said he is, and in that park, and with speed.
Yeah, and I think there's just going to be something. You mentioned the park's already a benefit, but just him playing every day rather than the Angels' randomness where he'd have a good game and they'd be like, okay, now go park it on the bench and we're going to start somebody else for you. So I think just playing every day, something could click here with Marsh. I mean, he's a guy that was a top prospect. We're waiting on it kind of to click for him, but I do think there is some potential here. Guy that I might be more interested in next year than what he's going to do the rest of this season. But I think you're right. I think the park's going to help the power. I think it helps the average. I just don't know exactly where he's going to slot into the lineup yet. The back end of the Phillies lineup is not overly impressive, so there's no reason he couldn't potentially slot in anywhere from 6 through 9, but I don't know exactly where that might be right now.
Mm-hmm.
David Robertson goes to Philadelphia as well. Ben Brown going to the Cubs. Cubs just clearing out their bullpen here. I guess Robertson slides in as closer. We were talking about this in the chat group. They seem to hate Sir Anthony Dominguez, so traded for Robertson. It's probably his job.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, probably. I want to say likely, but there's a chance for Dominguez still. Because, like, you know, the Phillies have already said, Rob Thomas, the Phillies manager / Matchbox 20 lead singer, he's already said that Sir Anthony Dominguez could see saves. So, you know, I mean, taking a guy at his word, if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to be coy about using Robertson as the closer, maybe Robertson isn't going to be the de facto closer. I don't know. I honestly, I'm not sure. I would guess Robertson is the guy to, but Sir Anthony Dominguez has also been really solid for like this season. So if you're, you know, I mean, you could probably do worse than having him on your team anyway, because he's got a 1.67 ERA and a 10.8 K per nine. So I think Sir Anthony Dominguez is probably worth rostering anyway, but Yeah, David Robertson would be my guess for closer.
Yeah, I think they're both rosterable as far as what they're going to give you, and I do think there's potential save opportunities for both. I'm going to get, like you said, I'm guessing David Robertson slots in as the closer, but perfectly fine with either guy being on rosters. I would guess just with Sir Anthony still in arbitration, maybe just trying to keep the save numbers down a little bit. Darren Ruff goes to the Mets for J.D. Davis plus TBD to San Francisco. I mean, I guess Ruff is one that, you know, he's probably does slot in the middle of a lineup for the Mets, I guess. I think he's
the platoon guy. I think he's platoon with Vogelbach. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's my guess, is like, because he's really good against lefties and Vogelbach's really good against righties. So Ruff is probably on the weak side of a platoon there. Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised at how little the Mets did at the deadline. I mean, I don't know, Darren Ruff and it's like Darren Ruff and Tyler Naquin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm right now personally, Naquin doesn't sound bad because I'm on my seventh day of taking NyQuil. So, you know, close enough for me. But yeah, I think I would want better if I were the Mets. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I think he's a platoon guy.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking maybe he plays some outfield for Mark Conha, because Mark Conha is not exactly a fielding expert himself. But Conha has actually been okay this year as well. So, you know, maybe not worth pulling out for Ruff and taking even a bigger hit on the defensive side. We already talked about the Odorizzi Will Smith trade. I think maybe this has something to do with the workloads that they're dealing with. Also, maybe Ian Anderson's awfulness in Atlanta.
Yeah. It's been bad.
Odorizzi hasn't exactly been good himself.
It's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. Let's just say that. I've had to struggle through rostering Ian Anderson in my NL only tout wars.
Not drop good. Him, but yes.
Not good. Yeah. Odorizzi. I mean, I think Odorizzi is probably just a streaminator call for on most occasions in 15 team mixed and shallower. But yeah, I mean, honestly, in NL only, speaking of NL only, not that many guys switched leagues this year. A lot of the big ones stayed in their league. Odorizzi is one of those guys that, like, you might be able to sneak a fab bid through on an NL only league where you get him, where other people are going for, you know, there's Joey Gallo. Anyway, there's other guys. don't make me go through them all. No. But yeah, Odorizzi is a guy you might be able to, like, you know, throw a bid out there and get him, and you might be okay with that in a an NL only league.
Yeah, I mean, the NL moves this year were absolutely gross. At least they have got a couple of guys that are going to help. The NL was absolutely not helpful at all. So, yeah, Odorizzi is one of those few NL guys you might be able to grab and still be helpful down the rest of the season. Other than that, yeah, streamer territory with matchups. And Presley's not going anywhere. He's still closing out games. As we mentioned, Will Smith has been not good. Velo down slightly, just not what we want to see from Will Smith so far this season. Tommy Pham goes to Boston. No return yet for what the Reds are getting. Should be better for his average. I don't know. The power, maybe a negative. He's not really a bomb fly ball guy, so I think he might hit a lot into the wall.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think he's probably a little bit of a boost up because of Fenway is a good park for average, but he's also losing the ability to homer as easily as he was in Cincy. So yeah, I mean, it's probably lateral, maybe a small boost because the lineup's a little bit better and the monster might help his average. You know, he's probably more of like, again, going back to the AL or NL, he's an AL only. He's a guy who went from the NL to the AL. So, yeah, I mean, that's a decent, I would bid on him in the AL only for sure. I think he's a guy who you might be able to sneak through.
Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on, Joey Gallo to the Dodgers, Clayton Beter to the Yankees. Gallo gets a fresh start, gets out of New York, where apparently he just absolutely hated it. I mean, this is one of the few bats moving over to the NL. Are you interested in him in an only league? I mean, I think you have to be, but
Yeah, I mean, NL, AL only and NL only, you bid on everyone. There's you can't like turn your nose up and be like, oh, Joey Gallo, no thank you. I mean, unfortunately, you have to bid on everyone. With that said, Joey Gallo, oh, he's not good. I mean, you know, I mean, sorry, I feel bad that his feelings were hurt in New York, but he's really not good.
No.
I think I said on the in my roundup of the moves that it's like, this is one way to make Cody Bellinger look better by comparison. I mean, Joey Gallo is really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how well he's going to do with the switch. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, guys say like, oh, you know, playing in New York, it was in my head and I can be much better if I have a change of scenery. But in reality, does that ever I mean, he's still a 40% strikeout rate guy. I mean, he's still Joey Gallo. No matter where he goes, he's a 180 hitter, you know? So it's like, even if he goes to a new place, like Los Angeles has no pressure. Like, okay, I don't know. Anyway, you know, good luck to him. But yeah, I'm not excited about the move.
Yep. He adds another sub 200 average to the bottom of the Dodgers lineup with Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger slightly above at 205. So yeah, that'll be nice to see those three just doing absolutely nothing at the bottom of that order. Maybe Gallo will get together. Again, you have to pick him up in NL only. I suppose in deep mix leagues, you can pick him up hoping that he just falls into a hot streak of home runs because he's done it. But that's really what you're hoping is just a hope and a prayer, I think, at this point for this year. We'll revisit next season.
Yeah.
Jose Quintana and Chris Stratton go to St. Louis for Johan Oviedo and Malcolm Nunez going back to Pittsburgh. Quintana's going in the rotation, Stratton been to the bullpen. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to say. It's kind of weird to see inner division trades, but that's really all I got here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Pirates will just trade with whoever. They're just like, take
them.
We
don't care who we're losing to. Yeah. We're going to lose to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Quintana is like, I mean, he stays in a good division. He's been relatively valuable this year, all things considered. I mean, he's got he's been pretty good. I don't know. You know, St. Louis is a decent park. Like I said, same division. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a lateral move, more or less. Maybe a little bit of a better chance for wins. But, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, pretty much my feelings as well. You know, the Cardinals rotation looks a whole lot better after the trade deadline, though, so good for them.
Yeah.
Eric Hosmer goes to Boston for the San Diego, please just take his contract and we'll even pay it for you. I mean, Hosmer to Boston, I mean, the left field line is in Boston is very friendly. Could we see a Hosmer resurgence?
You know, like Hosmer and Will Myers, they really like just had their values completely like ripped apart by Padres, right? I mean, they were like, there was like a real strong glimmer of hope for both of those guys. And then they went to San Diego and it was like, man, they just had their souls sucked out of them. Remember, like, at one point, Will Myers was, like, considered, like, a top prospect, and everyone was excited about him, and then it was like,
He was a strong fantasy asset for a good few years. I mean, I loved having Will Myers on my team.
I know, and Eric Hosmer, too, is, like, a guy that, you know, he's coming off of that, like, World Series in Kansas City, and he was having good... anyway.
The poster boy for the American team. Okay.
So, I mean, this is what happens when you have COVID brain fog. You just start
talking. Just talking about Eric Hosmer and his accomplishments in life.
Okay. So, anyway, I mean, I think Eric Hosmer... It's good that the Red Sox actually finally figured out that they needed a first baseman. That's a good thing. For Eric Hosmer, I don't think his value really changes much. I mean, he's so blah, you know, like even in a better park, like what is his like at this point? His upside looks like 15 homers and a 270 average over the course of a full season. I mean, is he leading the league in ground into double plays? I mean, he's such a mess, man. His ground balls and everything is just bad. I mean, it is, unfortunately, I don't know what happened to him, but his ground balls are almost at 60%. Not good. So it doesn't even matter that there's a giant wall in left field. It's not going to help him. Not great.
Yeah, I'm hoping maybe he just pulls a Rizzo and just figures out that he can, like, golf the ball, like, over the right field fence in Fenway and just kind of does that. That's my best hope for Eric Hosmer here. But, I mean, he has random pop-ups where he, like, plays well for a month, so I am going to still be somewhat interested in, like, 15 team and deeper, and that's about it.
Okay, maybe.
We got a bunch of other things here, Gray, but we're getting towards an hour. Any of these other trades that you think have some fantasy relevance that we need to discuss? I mean,
I think, you know, we mentioned earlier Vogelbach to the Mets. He's going to be on the strong side of that platoon. So that's, you know, that's a little bit for deep leagues, obviously. Not talking about shallow leagues, but like, yeah, like an NL only or something. Tyler Naquin, Benintendi over there doesn't exactly. Naquin with the Mets, again, it's like, you know, it's not a mixed league move. David Peralta, and, you know, you sort of went through him real fast, which was Jose Siri. So Jose Siri, from what I've seen of him, he looks like really good. Like he looks like he could be a like solid power and speed guy. Like he's got, like, in the minors 1 year, Jose Siri hit 24 homers and stole 46 bags and hit .293. Granted, it was single A, but Jose Siri, if you watch him, he really looks like a guy who could, like, do, like, some damage with power and speed. Like, he's fast and he's got good power, and he's actually now in Tampa, he might have at bats. So I don't know how far it's going to – I don't know if that's going to be like 15-team mixed league worthy or anywhere close to a 12-team mixed league guy. But I'm watching Jose Siri. Actually, I've put my Siri in charge of watching Siri. No, I think Jose Siri actually could really be something like – he could be interesting. The problem with him is he doesn't really make great contact. So that could be an issue, but we'll see. I mean, you know, it depends. If he can get lucky, or if he can get like hot for a stretch, he could become something. And David Peralta is similarly, you know, Tampa, you have to watch out for platoons. So I'm a little bit worried about what they're going to do with the platoon with David Peralta, but he's always a guy who manages to be a little bit more valuable than you think. Also, again, for a deeper league, though, I mean, we're obviously we're on guys in deeper leagues at this point. We're no longer talking about the Juan Sotos of the world.
Yeah, and I think David Peralta may even get, you know, at least for the Rays, fairly consistent playing time, just because I don't know that there's another outfielder that necessarily needs to slot in for him. Randy Rosarena, who, you know, kind of moves from DH to outfield, but he can move in for Luke Raley. So I really, Peralta could kind of just stay in the lineup for the most part. We'll see how that kind of works out. But yeah, I mean, we are talking about the back end. But so far, you know, Jose Siri's playing today, and it's the Rays. They find random things that help guys figure it out. They get them in the right position. So in deeper leagues, I think there may be something, again, with Siri and Peralta, but we are definitely in the deeper league territory here.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Let's talk about some bullpens here, because we had a bunch of things change. Anybody that we haven't discussed, I think maybe Alexis Diaz, and then maybe the Texas situation, Jonathan Hernandez and Matt Moore. I think we've talked about the rest of these, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it for those guys. I think, you know, I don't know. Did we mention Rowan Wick? Yeah, in the Cubs. David Robertson moved to Philly, and Rowan Wick is still in Chicago. So maybe if we didn't mention Wick earlier, there's that one too. But yeah, for the most part, I think we mentioned them.
All right. Sounds good. How about some waiver guys, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay. So, Paul DeJong, Colonel Mustard, was called up, by the Cardinals. And it looks like, you know, with Harrison Bader getting traded away, I wouldn't be surprised if DeJong gets a little bit more playing time. You know, I think, I mean, okay, so, here's the deal. He's been hot. He hit homers in back-to-back games. He's been hot, but he's still Paul DeJong. So, you know, keep that in mind. But, yeah, I mean, he could be something. Leody Taveras in Texas has been hot. I think he was at the top of the player rater, the 7-day player rater, last week when I wrote him up for the lead buy. He's since cooled off. I think he struck out like 5 times in a row this weekend. So it wasn't a great weekend for him. But yeah, and then and Kalanick was also called back up. And I think he's also still struggling. I don't know if he's ever going to – he might need a change of scenery. I don't know. Maybe him and Joey Gallo can go start a new team together somewhere else.
Yeah, I'd like to see Kalanick figure it out. I feel like it's one of those things, like it's just going to click and he's going to be a great player. I just don't know when that's going to happen. I still believe it will happen, though. So waiting for that one. In regards to St. Louis, I don't know. In regards to Paul DeJong, maybe he slots back in at shortstop. Maybe Edmund moves to short, and DeJong and Donovan kind of platoon second base. So we'll see what happens with DeJong returning. We talked about Ledmus Diaz a little bit, but he's going to lose some playing time. Donovan Solano, and then on the pitcher side, Johnny Cueto, Spencer Watkins, Jordan Lyles, Justin Steele, and Matt Moore in the RP role, who could be moving and getting some saves as well in Texas, but he's been great even when he's not been closing out games. So there are some arms that you can potentially look at as well. As always, if you have any specific questions following the deadline or as your trade deadlines come up in your leagues, hit us up in the comments. Or you can find us on Twitter. I am at RazBdon. Gray is, of course, the at RazBall account. Go subscribe and watch us on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RazBallFantasy. And we'll talk to you next week. See you, Gray. Hope you get feeling better.
Thanks, man.